towards the one,
the perfection,
the perfection of love,
harmony, and beauty,
the
only being,
united
with all the illuminated souls,
form
the embodiment of the Master, the spirit of guidance.
Okay, so everybody push star 6 and we'll have Rachmana begin.
Thank you. I just wanted to give a little thumbnail sketch of what the permit was in case anybody missed the newsletter. And also, if you're near your computer, we have some videos and pictures on our Facebook page if you want to take a look at those, the Dances of Universal Peace North America page. But the Parliament of World Religions is an international group that gathers every 5 years, although they've, after this last one, they decided they're going to move that up to every 2 years now because it's such a critical need in our world today. But they meet, you know, different locations around the world, and this year it happens to be in Salt Lake City. So there were close to 10,000 participants. It's just an amazing number of people. From over 73 countries, there were 30 major religions represented, 548 sub-traditions. There were 1,800 presenters and over 1,000 programs. So it was just an incredible and at times kind of overwhelming sea of humanity. and I think for me, one of the most deeply touching things was just, you know, walking through the hallways and being in workshops with literally people from every corner of the globe, all coming with the same message of unity and deep listening and, you know, deep desire to bridge all of the gaps that we
Narayan is here
in our world.
Welcome.
Hey, yeah. Sure, thanks.
Hey, you're interrupting me.
Figures.
it gets easy to feel overwhelmed and like, you know, we're carrying this burden by ourselves. And it was so wonderful to hear, you know, so many people from such a wide variety of traditions that we're all, you know, really in the same boat together, all rowing together. And the dances were wonderful. We had a couple of the dances out in public space where people could just walk by and join us, and it was really wonderful, you know, to see people be able just to step into the circle. And we had about 90 dancers, so it was great to, you know, have enough dancers to really carry the dance and be able to integrate those new people with ease. And for me, the gift of having that comfort with music and mantra made me feel like I could really join in with so many of the other traditions. There was a lot of wonderful music and chanting, and I had a really wonderful experience. One of the truly amazing gifts of service was the Sikh community who provided langar, which is their offering of food, and they provided a free lunch every day of the conference for thousands of people. Whoever wanted could show up and be fed with grace and hospitality and wonderful food. And several of us were singing in line and sang the Akonkar mantra, and they were just delighted that we knew something of their tradition, and one of the men came up and invited me to come and join their chanting the next day, and so that was really a lovely experience to be able to just slip into their circle. And my takeaway from the experience was really, I provide a lot of service to the dance community, and I love that. It feeds my soul, but I really left feeling like I needed to reach out into the community more. And just the experience of meeting so many wonderful people, the indigenous grandmothers were there, and elders and young people from so many traditions. And so I have volunteered. Boise is actually one of the major refugee resettlement areas in the United States. And I have volunteered to be a mentor for a refugee family. And so sometime in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be getting matched up with my first family and able to welcome them and provide that same bridge to the wider family, I guess, would be the way I would phrase it. So, really reaching out beyond my community of dancers and like-minded people and welcoming the others, what I really felt called to do after the conference. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's wonderful.
That's all I have to say right now. I know we have a lot of people that have a lot to share. So,
in that case, if you're finished with what you wanted to say, Rachmana, we can move on to Sky.
Yeah, let's move on to Sky.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Thanks for being here and for sharing this time with us as we collectively create a record of our memories of the Parliament. I'd like to start by sharing a little bit about how we got there, because there was a lot of work that went into it. My awareness of the Parliament started over a year before it was held, when a friend in Denver, Jennifer Stock, emailed me with information about it and said, wouldn't it be great if there was a strong DUP presence at this? She had been to two previous parliaments where the dances had had a presence, thanks mostly to Brother Joe, who did it pretty much single-handedly. And I'd heard about that, and I'd always wanted to be part of that, so I just started contacting people in personal emails and over the listserv, and things just started growing from there, and there were so many people who stepped up and helped create what we were able to create at the Parliament. Jen Friedman and Narayan and I wrote the proposal to have the dances as an activity at the Parliament, and then Jen submitted it for us. Sadia Zimmerli worked with Pierre Shabda to write a proposal for him to be a speaker, and as you know now, both the proposals were accepted. Then Flo Guest and I put together one package of about 15 people to get the heavily discounted group rate early on, and Oneness Project did another group buy. And Jen and I really knew it was going to be important for us to have a booth. So Zareen Connie Delaney and I started a grassroots fundraising campaign, and we raised enough money not only to pay for the booth but to also pay for the cost of renting a space for a Wednesday night dance. Wednesday was the night before the Parliament started, and so that dance, which was held at a church about a block from the convention center, was a public event that anybody could attend. And then Zareen and Melissa Zuckerman did a lot of advertising for that dance as well. Laurie Adams and Zareen and I consulted on the booths, the location in the vendor hall, the size, the electrical requirements. And Laurie wanted to bring her Hands of the Heart ceramic work to the Parliament. She does beautiful work. If you've never seen it, you should check it out. And we wanted our booth right next to each other. So we figured all that out, and then Lori contacted the Parliament people to reserve our spaces and paid for them with her credit card, and then we reimbursed her for ours. Zareen was also working at this time with Melissa. It took them weeks to find and reserve a space for the Wednesday night dance. And then Zareen and I got together and fleshed out a schedule and invited leaders to be part of that evening. And while all of this was going on, I was collecting a list of what grew to be about 80 people from the dance community and from the Rahaniyat community who were planning on attending. And I was keeping track of who were dance leaders and musicians. I was sharing updates with everybody about the schedule, our plans, the booth, all of that stuff, and trying to connect people who had questions and requests about transportation and shared housing and extra tickets and all that kind of stuff. I also I consulted with Pierre Shabda about the format for our two formal dance sessions, since he's the person being closest to the originator at this point that needed to be involved with all of that. We got the leaders and musicians lined out. We had teleconferences about it. Brother Joe shared his insights and experience from previous parliaments with us, which really helped a lot. I mean, it helped us know what to expect, or actually more accurately, what not to expect in the way of support and an understanding from the Parliament people of what we were actually offering, because the dances are very different from your standard workshop or lecture situation, and they weren't really clear on that. Event organizers sent me flyers of upcoming events, and Zareen and Wayne borrowed a standing rack from their library that we could put the flyers in so people could see them at our booth. We figured out what we thought the booth ought to look like, and Wayne and Zareen brought tables and chairs and lighting and banners and a whiteboard and all kinds of stuff. Wayne also borrowed Wilderness Camp sound system for us to use during the dance session so that the leaders could be amplified and people could hear them. And he and Pierre Shabda and some other people worked out all the sound details and what they were going to need. And then at the Parliament, Wayne had all this sound equipment on this large kind of flatbed dolly and was schlepping it all over the building, you know, for every one of our dance sessions. So things are going along pretty well. And then late in the planning phase, not too long before the Parliament itself, our schedule got changed, the days, the times, the locations. And we ended up in more phone calls on figuring out how to work with the new parameters that we suddenly had that we weren't expecting. Then when we got to Salt Lake City in the convention center Thursday morning, ready to set up the booth, we found out that our supposed booth reservations had never been recorded, and we weren't even on the list to have a booth. Neither was Lori. Fortunately, Lori, who got there before I did, had found us a perfect spot for the two booths, and it worked out fine, but it was a pretty tense couple of hours while we were figuring it out. There are a million more details about how we were able to create what worked so well. I just wanted to give a little bit of background on the work that went in ahead of time and mention some of the people who were involved with it, because everybody did such a stellar job. And then we were there, and there was the Parliament. And like Ramana said, there were, 10,000 people there. And while the dances were an incredible highlight, there are other things that I remember just as well, like walking down the hallway, and there were men wearing suits or jeans and T-shirts or robes or monk's habits, and they're wearing turbans or yarmulkes or Sufi hats. And the women were wearing saris or miniskirts with spike heels or robes. And there are all these languages going on at the same time, and everybody was smiling and hugging. And they, when people would pass you, they'd look you in the eye, and they'd really see you. And you'd look around, and there were people in the hallway, and there were people riding up and down the escalators, and there were people playing music in the side rooms, and there were people leaning over the mezzanine, just watching everything that was going on. I live outside a really small town. We don't even have any elevators, much less escalators, and I hardly ever go to big cities, so for me this was just almost out of this world, like being on the set of a Star Wars movie or Star Trek or something. all these different cultures and religions and languages and everybody getting along together so peacefully with so much love and acceptance and support, no fear, no violence. And there were several times it brought me to tears. It was just so beautiful. This is how it's supposed to be all the time. I remember, you know, things flashed through my mind. There was a Native American hoop dancer, the Tibetan monks creating their sand mandala. There was a Jain temple that they built Thursday that had a small pond in the middle of it with artificial candles and lotus flowers floating in it. There was a labyrinth you could walk. There were these big metal origami-like cranes hanging from the ceiling of the main hallway. There was a hallway with goddess banners hung all the way down it. There were kirtans happening almost, not quite constantly, but almost, from almost every tradition, including Native American. I had never heard Native American kirtan before. There were the barely teenage whirling dervishes from the American Mevlevi organization. There was the food at the langars that was just incredible. Sikhs came from all over the world to be of service to the parliament by serving food and cooking food for us. There were the indigenous grandmothers, the Abrahamic reunion, Shabda's presentation, you know, singing and listening to him give one of the best talks I've ever heard. It was awesome. There were the early morning ceremonies at the sacred fire circle outside the convention center where the fire was being tended by Native Americans from various traditions for 24/7 for the whole time of the parliament. You'd walk into the vendors hall and there was this huge array of various spiritual paths represented in all the different booths there. And then there was our booth, which looked sort of like a gypsy troubadour booth. It was so colorful. It was so bright. People would come by and their eyes would light up and they'd want to talk and ask questions. And they took flyers and they bought banners and they listened to the occasional music jams that we were doing and they'd sing along with us. We had enough room that we could store the instruments under the table and store the sound equipment in the corner. And we had snacks, including a bunch of delicious apples from Joy Morris and Bernie Skydrummer's trees in Torrey, Utah. And we were passing apples and slicing them up and giving them to people who came by. There was a lot going on. It was kind of like a kaleidoscope in constant motion. It never really stopped. And so it was sometimes overwhelming for me, but it was so heart-opening. And it was really like an inspiration about how life could be. And that's what I carry with me ever since that parliament, is this is the world we're working to help create. This is what our service is. And that's, I think, what I bring with me now as I continue my work with the dances wherever I'm doing it. And I don't know, that's probably more than enough.
How beautiful and how eloquently you said all that, Sky. I love that kaleidoscope part. I could picture that.
It was really, I mean, that's what I see when I just close my eyes and go back there.
Hmm. Well, shall we move on? Did you have any more you wanted to say, Sky?
No, I think that's plenty.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to hear more from you later on. Thank you, by the way, for all that you did. That's amazing. You made a lot of cool things happen there. Thank you very, very much from all of us.
You're very welcome from me and everybody who helped.
Yeah, everybody who helped. Thank you for remembering so many people. So, Shiva Dham, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Sure. Yes, please share with us.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to share. There were really so many of us there. I feel honored to have been selected to say something about it. And I don't want to say too much, of course, because there are so many people here on the call. So I'd like to hear from who were there, too. And I really, you know, want to begin by, again, thanking Sky for really all the work you did and all of the folks you mentioned and everyone who was so instrumental in getting us officially on the program. So as Sky mentioned, Brother Joe had been to previous parliaments elsewhere in the world and had led some informal dances, as I understand it. But this was the first time that the Dances of Universal Peace, and indeed our Pir Shabda, so therefore our Sufi lineage, was represented as an official part of the program of the parliament. And my sense, my hope, is that that's going to become a tradition, because what the Dances of Universal Peace are about is exactly what the parliament is about. It's such a beautiful fit. And, you know, I expected that to be the case as I attended for the first time, my first parliament, and sure enough, it was. We fit so beautifully in there. And so I, like Sky, had learned about the parliament. And Sky, thank you for all of that background information about the preparation leading up to us being there, because I think that's such an important part of the story. It's no simple thing, if you can imagine. I mean, imagine the organizers who are trying to organize an event that's going to host as many as 10,000 people. So representing all the world's faith traditions, it's such a daunting task. It's amazing to me that just the commitment to do that I find so inspiring. Of course, the first parliament happened in 1893 in Chicago, I think at the World's Fair there. It was the first parliament of the world's religions. I had learned about it, as a young man when I began studying spirituality, long before I learned about Sufis or the Dances of Universal Peace. I had learned about Swami Vivekananda, the first Hindu who came to the West and spoke about Hinduism, and it was at the Parliament of the World's Religions in Chicago. So then it was about another year, about another 100 years before the next one. So in 1993, they did it again, and then, as has been mentioned, about every 5 years since, and now hopefully every 2 years it'll happen around the world. It's such a beautiful gathering, but so daunting to just imagine the work that must go into that. So it was held in Salt Lake City at this place called the Salt Palace, which is like, you know, I don't know how big the building is. It's unimaginably big. It's like, you know, a quarter of a mile long, at least from end to end. It's like an enormous airplane hangar. And indeed, kaleidoscope is such a perfect word. We arrived, and I wanted to say I learned about the parliament about a year before, like Sky had, at an interfaith gathering here in my city, which was a Sikh langar. This has been mentioned. The Sikhs have a tradition of providing food for communities. And in Phoenix, the Sikh community is very active in our interfaith.
Shivadam? Hello? Shivadam, are you there?
He was so high, he transcended things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he dropped off.
Yeah, well, he fell off the call.
Oh, how'd that happen? Okay.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he comes back. Okay. I'm sure he will. So, Elizabeth Tukin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and why don't you get started, and then when Shivadam comes back on, we'll let him finish his time. Okay?
Okay, that'll be fine.
Okay, thank
you. I've just been feeling like I've been back there, and it's been wonderful. So I want to thank everybody for inviting me to be a part of this too. It was a powerful experience, you know, as everyone has said. And I was going to talk a little bit how it shaped what I've done since the parliament. Yeah, I have a little bit of a different perspective, because I wasn't involved in organizing the dances, but I was involved in as a volunteer for the entire parliament. It was another different world to step into, and full of details, just like Sky was saying. So I know what she was dealing with too. One of the things that struck me was from the very beginning, how we were welcomed, and that sense in terms of the dances of how well they fit. There was a whole part. We were given a booklet when we came in that talked about the parliament, and it was called our commitment book. And it talked about one of the first things it says is our approach, that the Parliament of World Religion seeks to promote interreligious harmony rather than unity. The problem with seeking unity among religions is the risk of the loss of the unique and precious character of each individual religious and spiritual tradition. And this understanding is key to our framework. And that so resonates with the dances, how we try to keep the integrity of each of the different traditions. So I was really impressed with that. The other thing that I was impressed with from this book and the way that it started was the call to action from His Holiness the Dalai Lama, which I thought I'd read too. And he said, "I believe that the interfaith movement can contribute to helping to save the world, but not just through the nice words of dialogue, but with our actions. It is a responsibility of human beings to fix the problems which we create, of climate change, of the widening income gap, of hate and war. God will not do this for us. We must take responsibility for our actions. For this reason, I congratulate the Parliament of World Religions for adopting declarations on these critical issues. It is now time for us to commit to action, which you, your community, or your organization can take to bring them to fruition." So I heard this, and I heard it in all these different speeches, and of course my mind, because I have been an activist in my life, went to, okay, so how do the dances do this? How do the dances fit with this call for action? And it felt like a movement. It felt like we were part of this great, powerful movement. And I was just going around, and I think I talked to Rachmana about it, you know, how do we become really a part of this? Because we have so much to offer. So one day I went to that beautiful langar and had my lunch, and I was looking at the service and talking to some of the young people about why they were doing this service. And then I came back and there was a dance gathering in the foyer. And suddenly there were people joining in, people of all different faiths and all those different costumes that Sky talked about and Rachmana talked about. And they were all joining in dancing. And then there were other people, and, you know, hundreds of them that were watching. And there was just, you know, that feeling of joy that the dances bring, that feeling of harmony. And so, you know, my reaction was, okay, this is one of the answers. We can be of service with a nurturing, with the dances, of the nurturing the spirit of this movement, the spirit of harmony and the spirit of love and beauty. And I just got really excited about that, and thinking about the dances as service. So I think that since that time, I've really changed my way of leading dance circles. I lead dance circles in both Washington State and in Guatemala, and I think it's really influenced, you know, I haven't changed hugely, but I know that I really do focus on that service that we talk about, of creating that the peace and harmony in our own lives and in our own soul, so that we can go out and create that in the world. And I feel like that is a part of it. I also have another thing that I do. I sing with the Seattle Raging Grannies, which is a whole different world, because we sing at peace rallies and things like that. And I found that every now and then, particularly in the current climate, we get really frustrated, and that sometimes they had actually appreciated me throwing in a peace dance song so that we all calm down and remember our center and remember that it is about creating peace in the world. Is everybody hearing me okay?
I think so, hon. They're all muted.
Okay.
You're doing fine.
Just checking because it's so quiet.
I know.
So that was my answer number one about what the dances can do in response to this call of action from the Parliament. And then I was, you know, I was listening to one speaker after another talking about these wonderful, incredible things they were doing in the world. And I think it was Marianne Williamson that just really challenged us to take our messages to the world, the message that, you know, love is the path. in any way that we could in each day of our lives and all that we do. And so I started thinking, okay, how can I do that? How can I respond to that charge? So I winter in Guatemala, and so I left about 3 weeks later to go to Guatemala. And there, a couple of the things that I do there is I teach wellness practices to some of the local Mayan healthcare workers, and I've done that for about 5 years. And we begin and end each class with a dance, and they've really taken to it. And I felt, you know, inspired to do more of that. So I had the opportunity in January. For the past 3 years, I've worked with Grace Marie and led a dance journey to Guatemala, where we get a chance to work with some my Mayan healthcare workers and a program for children and a Mayan shaman that we know there. And I think that some people that participated in our journey may be on this call, and I really welcome them. And we have been sharing the dances with different groups, different Mayan groups. And in the process, particularly last year, we discovered that the Mayan culture, they have a lot of instrumental music like marimbas and drums, but there is virtually no song. And so we've been working with these groups to create songs and dances based on their sacred words. And I've been working a lot with Grace Marie and with Antaranani Swanson and Elizabeth Rogowski, who is in Guatemala, on this project and on these tours. And we were already talking about ways that we could deepen this work. And I think that you know, I came out of the parliament with all this inspiration to really put the focus on taking the dances to the world and the message of the dances to the world. And so we did focus on sharing our dances in some very different ways, and as well as in this idea of co-creating new dances with the Mayan sacred words. So I have just a couple of stories that I'd like to share to illustrate, and then I think I'll be done and ready for questions. One of the towns that we visited is Santiago Atitlan, which was one of the places that was hit hardest by the civil war violence in Guatemala. And our guide, Nicholas, who had seen our dances the year before, suggested that we dance in front of the cathedral. And in front of the cathedral, there's a large, huge expanse, and there's people, there's tourists from all over, and there's people, Mayan people, trying to sell them things. And it's just a large, busy place. But there was enough room that we could do a dance. So we put down our things, and Grace led Altissimo Corazon. And everybody stopped and sat down and watched us. And I was just really wondering what they thought of all of us. But we went on, and we went to the Peace Park where one of the massacres occurred, and we danced there, and we danced by the lake. And everywhere we went, people seemed to stop and watch and be interested. And I thought, well, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, but, you know, at least maybe they're wondering. But then later I was sitting waiting for the group to be done shopping by the side of the water and waiting for our boat. And one of the little boys about 10 years old who was part of the group that was up at the cathedral that were trying to sell us things came up to me, and he sort of tugged on my skirt, and he said, "Do you remember that song that you sang up at the cathedral?" And he said, "You know, would you sing it again for us? Because we really liked it." And so there were about five or six of us there, and we sang Altissimo Corazon, and before we knew it, we were up dancing and teaching the dances to this group of street vendors who had gathered around us. And it just felt like a true and wonderful sharing, and that there was more than just passing interest in what we were doing. So a few days, yes?
I think we have to move on now, hon, but that, thank you so much for sharing those stories. And,
okay.
And all of your sharing. I want to see if Shivadam made it back on the call yet.
Yes.
Oh,
hello,
good.
I'm back on. Did you hear what I had said?
We only heard you. You had talked for about 3 minutes before we lost you. You were just starting to talk a little bit about, you know, your experience there.
I really don't know where I left off or what happened.
Well,
you
had talked a little bit about, you know, how much you enjoyed how everyone had worked to make it come together.
Oh, my gosh,
but you didn't
yeah.
really share anything about your own personal experience there. So I think if you just start there with anything that you participated in or...
Okay. Well, it was such a delight to be to lead the Dances of Universal Peace at the Parliament of World Religions, which I don't know whether you heard me say I had learned about long before I had ever even heard about Sufism or the Dances of Universal Peace.
Yes, you said
okay.
that part about Swami
okay.
Vivekananda, et cetera. I think it was
yes,
right
okay.
after that.
I see. Okay. A little hard to go back and recap where I was. It was Murshid Sam's birthday happened during the week we were there, and I thought how delightful. He would be so happy, I would think, because the Dances of Universal Peace and the Parliament of World Religion share the same purpose. The theme of this particular parliament was reclaiming the heart of humanity, and that's certainly what our work is about. And so, you know, it was overwhelming to arrive there. I don't know if you heard me say that part. We arrived to receive a packet that the parliament had put together in the form of a shoulder bag, a lovely shoulder bag, that was filled with lots of materials, including a manual that contained a list of all of the what the presenters would be presenting. The first thing we realized was, my God, how do we figure out what to attend? And as scheduled presenters, of course, we knew we would be attending our own sessions, but what else? And so it was quite a task even just to Parvati and I spent the first night in our room after the evening concluded, and just going through and trying to chart a course for what we wanted to attend during the week, understanding that things were getting shifted around. So the Parliament had developed an app that people could find updates on their cell phone. Because if you can imagine trying to coordinate 10,000 people in a conference hall, it's just an overwhelming experience. So what I had said that I think is most important is how grateful I feel for not only all of the folks in our organizations who helped get us to the Parliament, but all of those people who do the Parliament, who keep this tradition going. And my hope is that the Dances of Universal Peace will have become a permanent presence now, so long as some of us are able to attend, because the parliaments will happen at various places around the world. They haven't announced the next location for the next parliament yet, but my hope is that wherever we are, wherever it is in the world, that the Dances of Universal Peace will be part of the program, and I encourage folks to help make that happen, and just to go, just go to the parliament and experience it. It is such an amazing thing, as has already been described. It's indescribable and life-changing. It was for me. I felt so touched by so many of the speakers. There were plenary sessions where all of the attendees were invited, and speakers such as Jane Goodall, who's been a lifelong hero of mine for her work with animals. It was just really exciting to hear her speak in person. His Holiness the Dalai Lama had been scheduled, but was not well, and so he had to he greeted us over a video conference. Al Gore similarly was not able to be there, but he spoke to us about climate change, and one thing that really surprised me about the Parliament, I guess I knew it was going to be a love fest, and there was some nervousness in our organizing team at points about, you know, how are we going to interface with this enormous, festival, really. How are we going to integrate in? What are we going to do exactly? Where are we going to do it? And I said, one thing is for sure, it's going to be a multi-faith love fest. So we will be so welcomed, and everyone will be so happy just to be there. And that was surely the case, as Sky mentioned, just the way that people connected with each other there. I mean, it really was such a loving atmosphere. So I wasn't worried about it, and I knew that whatever happened would be graciously received and appreciated, and sure enough, that was the case. So I had a lot of notes, and I haven't really looked at them. I was so touched by the Sikh people and their langar that's been mentioned, the community meal that they served every day at lunchtime. It's a long tradition for Sikhs, even who are not vegetarian people themselves, but recognized early on in the history of their tradition that in order for people to sit and eat together in love, harmony, and beauty, they would serve only vegetarian food so that everyone can eat together without a sense of division. You know, the Sikhs rose up at the time when there was a lot of tension between Hindus and Muslims in India, and of course Muslims eat the sacred cows that the Hindus revere, so the Sikhs brilliantly brought people together to eat together in a way that is harmonious for all. And that was so moving to experience that every day at the Parliament. And another thing that really touched me was, you know, we had a lovely DUP booth. I want to chime in and say how beautiful it was and how grateful I was that that booth was there. It was like a kind of a resting oasis for us in the sea of people and activities. So thank you. And not far from our booth was a booth that the Sikh community had. And one day I learned that they were offering to tie turbans on people so that they could experience what it's like to wear the Sikh turban, which is called pag. And so I went 2 days, and I wore the turban for 2 consecutive days throughout the Parliament. So if you see any videos and you see a guy with a guitar leading dances in the center with a turban on, that's me. Because, you know, I have a long sense of appreciation and many Sikh friends here in Phoenix. And to be able to wear the pag really felt so profound. And as I understand their purpose, part of their purpose was to enable people to feel what life is like underneath a turban, because we know that there's so much misunderstanding about that. But, of course, at the Parliament, my wearing it, you know, I was welcomed, and I think I probably was given more respect than less respect for wearing it, which is very different than it would be on the outside world. Although I did wear it out around town after the Parliament when we'd go out to dinners, and of course so many of the people in restaurants around the Parliament itself were Parliament attendees. So I just want to encourage everybody to consider keeping track of the Parliament and attending one if you can in your lifetime. It's almost like pilgrimage to the Hajj for Muslims. I think for we folks, the Parliament is a lovely pilgrimage to make. So I think that's all I have to share.
Oh, I love ending on that note, too, of the pilgrimage. A pilgrimage to the kaleidoscope. That sounds pretty good. Okay, well, thank you so much. We have about 10 minutes left. So I would love to, I'm sure we all would love to hear from others who were at the Parliament, or if there was a question for any of the speakers, you just have to unmute your phone by pushing *6. And so I just open this up to anyone else who would like to share.
This is Sharon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Elizabeth seemed to have another story to share. Is there time for that?
Well, I think because her stories are a little bit on a different subject a little bit, I think we want to try to hear from others who may have been at the Parliament.
I understand. Thank you.
I'd like to hear from Parvati, who led dances there also, my wife. She's on the call.
Great, honey. Thank you. Well, I have to start by saying thank you to Sky and Jen and Narayan and everybody that worked so hard to make our presence there possible, because I took one look at the application and my eyes glazed over. I mean, I'm the central coordinator for Taradatu International, right? Like, I should have submitted something. I just couldn't do it. So my hat is off to all of you. And it was an incredible experience. And as Sky so eloquently said, everybody so eloquently said, really in all the various ways that it's been expressed in actualization of our heart, of our values, our knowing that these communities are all joined in one truth, in one joy, in all one wisdom. And it was just an unparalleled, precious experience to be in such an enormous community, so clearly dedicated, an airline hangar-sized community when we all got together. I mean, Jane Goodall walked out and said, I've talked in a lot of places. I've never spoken in an airline hangar. And she was joking, but it sure looked like that. I mean, it was amazing. And our dance leading was so precious to have people in the group, so many people gathered from all over our community, interspersed with people that had no idea who we were or what we were doing or why we were doing it, but they felt it, and they didn't need to know with their brain. Even if they couldn't really hear what we were saying from the center of the circle, their hearts were open, and they joined right in. And Joy Morris shared, it was Bernie, Sky Drummer, shared a memory when we were together this last weekend of a woman walking by, and she was going to something else, clearly. Her trajectory was set. But the magnetism of what we were doing was so strong, she just dropped her bags there on the side of the circle and jumped right in. And I think that says it all. That's the spirit. Everybody did that over and over and over again in so many different ways. And it was so precious. You could stand in line next to anybody, share your heart. Their heart was open. They'd share their heart with you. And, I mean, wow. And Shivadam's invitation, yes, absolutely. I think it should be a priority that every youth in the world get a chance to be at something like this. Certainly we want to try to be there, and we want to sponsor others to be there and to always have our community there in big numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Parvati. Parvati, anybody else? Yes. Just to unmute your phone and join in.
This is Hyatt in Virginia. I hate to sound redundant, but it really was an incredible experience. And I think that what Sky said and the way in which he said it best expresses how I felt about it, just the kaleidoscope of people. And, you know, I'm not from a tiny town like Snowflake, Arizona, like she is, but I still felt the sense of just a little bit of overwhelm, but in a good way. It was just sensory overload, and it was an amazing feeling of a world community the way we envision it to be. And we created this incredible energetic field, and I really think that people must have been feeling it for way out from our center. And the dances were, yes, amazing. And it was really great that we had a mixture of people from our dance community, lots of them, mixed in with people who were so new. And I know that when I first experienced the dances, it was at a big retreat, and I had that feeling of being kind of swept up in this energy, and it was effortless. And I think those people who joined in who didn't know anything about the dances had that feeling, and that's beautiful. And we gave out cards and flyers and things, and hopefully some of those folks will go home and look for dances in their area. And I came away extremely inspired by many of the experiences there, many of the one-on-one talks with people I didn't know and people I did know. Many of the speakers were really on fire, and particularly Marianne Williamson. And then the grandmothers were there, and that really touched me. And all the music, there was music at various venues going on at various times, and that was amazing. And being able to, like folks are saying, feeling grateful for those among us who did the organization and the applying for the funding and things like that. The booth was very colorful and light-filled, like literally lights were in there, but it was also the other kind of light. And I loved that Lori's booth was right next to ours. It just was perfect. And then the Sufi Orders booth, and I'm initiated there too as a healing chirag, and so they were right across the way, and so it just felt like a refuge, a coming home, and whenever being amongst all those many other people and all the swirling colors and sound and everything that was going on, it really was nice to go visit with my Sufi friends and just touch in with that particular energy. I came home and I had posted a lot of photos and a lot of commentary and a lot of, some video. And I think that was seen by some people who ended up asking me to do certain things. So that was very exciting. So I'm leading dances for a women's International Women's Day event very soon, and I was invited to lead dances at an interfaith gathering that's I think in May, and so I really came away with a sense of renewed hope and also a sense of spiritual activism, you know, just doing more with the dances and with my own skills other than the dances, and just being more active about that. So I think that's it for me.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, folks, it's 9:30, but if anyone feels like I do, we probably want to hear just a couple more speakers. So maybe we can go 5 more minutes if there's anyone else who might want to share.
Hey, this is Narayan. All I'll say is it felt like maybe the biggest and most varied and best dance and Sufi camp I've ever been to. So I'm going to go if I can next time for sure, and I hope everybody else does too. That's it.
This is Hira Fatah. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was just appreciating, you know, all of these things that Hayat is getting to do and how it's opening up, and it's reminding me of, and Elizabeth's work of, Elizabeth read something that the Dalai Lama had said, and I'm wondering if that could be stated again. It was something about moving into activity.
Yeah, we could probably close with that. But is there anyone else who wants to share? In the meantime, we have a couple more minutes.
I just want to say one quick thing. I had started to say something, and then I went on another track, and that is that I had expected the Parliament to be a group of religions kind of like sharing what they are about in forums, you know, saying our religion is about this, our religion is about that. But really, the central theme of the thing was the call to action, the call to take this glow, this joy that we're feeling at the Parliament, and to take it out into the world and to be active, to be spiritually active, to make changes in the world with regard to climate change and racism and culturalism and respecting the rights of indigenous people and taking care of the animals on the earth. I was so surprised that there was such a strong emphasis that way, even more than what individual religions had brought were bringing to the table.
Oh, thank you, Shiva Dam.
Oh, I forgot. This is Hayat again. I just forgot one other thing that was connected with this. We had a Standing Together Richmond event, I guess a couple of months ago, that was in response to the, you know, things that were going on that were attacks on Muslims and other religious groups, but that was a big impetus was that. What has been happening in the world, and that I, you know, in the past I might not have gone in person to something like that. Like, I would have encouraged people to go, but I might not have felt quite as I don't know, as passionate. But I just made absolutely sure that I got there, that I participated in. And actually, ahead of time, I asked if they would like a dance to end or to begin the whole thing, not knowing how many people they were expecting and what the venue was. But they're keeping that in mind for future reference. For it wasn't appropriate for that particular time. But just to encourage everyone on the call to keep their eyes open for things like that, where we can bring ourselves, but also bring the dances to help bring people together, because it's so heart-opening. And sometimes those types of events, people can be very much in their heads talking about, you know, the things that they want to see happen, but not really feeling it. So I think it's important. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Elizabeth, are you there again?
I'm here.
Okay. Elizabeth, we're going to have to close now, so I'm sorry we didn't get to hear your second story. Maybe you could send it into the newsletter and we could print it or something like that.
Okay.
People sound
I could
really
do that.
Interested.
Yeah. And maybe we could do something on, maybe we could do a teleconference on the dances and spiritual activism. Because it sounds
perfect.
Like there's some interest.
I wanted to
do great idea.
Teleconference on the parliament a little further. I didn't know if we should do just a whole other one on the parliament, but maybe that's an even better idea to how the parliament has inspired people, but also just in general how people apply their what they learn from the dances to go out and do more interfaith work. So
that
is a great suggestion, and thank you. And if anyone else has feedback about this teleconference, I don't know if Rachmana, if you're on the phone, if they can send that in to...
No, I think they should send it to you.
Yeah, to me. Send it to me. Which I think my email is on the website. I think it is.
Yeah, or, you know, you could post ideas on the Facebook page, too.
Yes, post feedback and ideas on the North American Facebook page. That would be really helpful. So, Elizabeth, if you could, I think there was a request to hear the offering from the Dalai Lama.
The call to action.
Yes.
From His Holiness.
That would be a perfect note to end on.
Wonderful.
We all love the Dalai Lama. So then we'll just do a little bit more of a closing after that. So go ahead, Elizabeth.
Okay. I believe that the interfaith movement can contribute in helping to save the world. But not just through nice words of dialogue, but with our actions. It is the responsibility of human beings to fix the problems which we create, of climate change, of the widening income gap, of hate and war. God will not do this for us. We must take responsibility for our actions. For this reason, I congratulate the Parliament of the World Religions for adopting declarations on these critical issues. It is now time for us to commit to action which you, your community, or your organization can take to bring them to fruition. With my prayers and good wishes, the Dalai Lama, October 6, 2015.
Thank you. Thank you to Rachmana, Sky Majida, Shiva Dam, and Elizabeth again, and to all of you who've been on this teleconference. And for all of you, for all you do to make this world a better place for all of us, and our children and grandchildren and friends and loved ones everywhere around the world. So for that, I'm going to say good night and many blessings to everyone.
And thank you to
you,
Jane
Skye,
for
organizing this.
You are welcome.
Thank you, Jane.
Big thanks.
Love
bye,
you, everybody.
Thank you. Love you, too.
Assalamu alaikum.
Bye.
Toward the one.
Mama.